Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
We are continuing in the series, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me ask you this. How many of you love puzzles? Like, you love putting puzzles together. It's kind of like a time you can kind of like just get away and maybe daydream while you're putting puzzles together. Maybe you enjoy putting puzzles together because it's like something you do with your family or friends, and it's a way that you can connect with other people around you, and so some people really like that. I noticed that, you know, sometimes it's a way to use other parts of our brain, like certain activities. If you're in the office a lot, quite a bit, maybe it's good to take some time to do something physical, like either working outside or working out or working in the garden. Like, it works other parts of your brain and helps you kind of think. I get that. And so maybe puzzles do that for you. So I know a lot of people in my family love puzzles. I know my part of Amy's family loves puzzles. They'll do puzzles together. And I do not like a big fan of puzzles. I just don't. Not my thing. One of my sister-in-law, Sarah, she loves puzzles. She has a 18,000-piece puzzle that she has. I'm going to show you a picture of it, all right? This is in my brother's house, and Brian and Sarah, and it's 18,000. And so she's been working on that for a while, just herself. I don't think anyone's helped her with it. Maybe someone has, but for the most part, she does it herself. And they have triplets, all girls. They're now seven, so like they can, I'm sure be around the puzzle. But there was a time they had it blocked off from the dogs, from everybody, right? One day Sarah was telling me a while back, she went up to her girl's room, and they have each their own rooms, their own beds, but I think they still sleep like in the same room, there's triplets. And she was cleaning up there in a random spot in a random toy. She found like four or five pieces of her puzzle. She's like, I don't know if all the pieces are there or not. Well, I guess we will find out. But she's getting close to the end, and it's even bigger in person than what you even see on a picture. What's interesting is, if you get looking a little bit, there are different Guinness World Records when it comes to putting puzzles together. I won't give you all the details, but basically there's a record for the fastest 250-piece puzzle, 500,000, like you go on down the list. The fastest for the 250-piece puzzle took a Connecticut teenager in 2014, 13 minutes and 7 seconds. So that's 18 pieces per minute. That is flying. The puzzle with the most pieces, to my knowledge, I have a picture of it. It has 551,232 pieces. It's approximately in feet. I don't know if my measurement's correct or not, but it's around about 50 feet by about 75 feet, maybe give or take. Give you an idea, if I remember right, I think from that camera to right here is about 55 feet, if my memory serves me right. So that gives you an idea just how wide it is. So huge, huge. And it took them 17 hours to put that picture together with 1,600 students working on it. So that'd be kind of cool to do something together like that. I think I'd put one piece and walk away. I helped build it, man. Anyway. So last week, we were in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and the main passage was verse 6. I want to read it again. And Paul is talking to Timothy. He is Timothy's mentor, and he's encouraging Timothy. He's encouraging Timothy, and he wants to remind him of a couple of things. So he says to him, after talking and reminding him of the faith that he got from his grandmother and his mother and how he was raised, he says, "This is why I remind you to fan in the flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you." When he laid hands on young Timothy. He was not giving the gift or gifts to Timothy, but he simply was recognizing that, Timothy, you got these gifts. Gifts of teaching and preaching and evangelism. And I want you to fan into flames these gifts in which God has given you. Why? Because when it comes to the gifts, the Holy Spirit, which gives them to us, the work of the Holy Spirit in our gifts is not automatic. It must be cultivated. That fire must be cultivated. We must cultivate what God has given us. In other words, investing in what God has and how he has gifted you. Now, we didn't really focus much on what the gifts were last week. Today, we're going to focus on what the gifts are and then what I'd like for you to do, what I feel God wants you to do. And kind of concerning what we want you to do is, if you don't know what your gifts are, is take a spiritual gift test. And so over on the information table, I have Lifeway's spiritual gift test. You can take a copy. I did post, if you're watching online or if you want to go back later and print it off, I did post it on our church's Facebook page. Now, there are some electronic ones you can take, and maybe I'll post one of those later on the church page. But for now, I just have the Lifeway spiritual gift test. It's one that we give out in our Next Steps class for church membership, and so you can check that out. So what are some of these spiritual gifts? Now, there's four main passages that talk about these spiritual gifts and mention what they are. It's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. So the first one I want to look at is Romans chapter 4, or 12, Romans 12, verse 4 through 8. And this is what it says. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. So he starts off, and this is Paul writing, he's given us an illustration, something to compare to, that he's comparing the gifts that God gives and their purpose and their use to with the body being the church, and then comparing it to our physical body, just how each one has a different function. Just as an eye is not the hand, just as the hand is not the foot, just as the mouth is not the ears. Like he's saying, they need each other. They need to be there for one another, but they are different. There's different body parts that do different things, and each one is special in its own right. And so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well, meaning there's some things you're not going to do well, and that's okay. That's okay. When you take a spiritual gift test, you'll see that you'll have two or three really strong gifts, and you have two or three that are horrible. You're like, oh, you'll even be. I've given a lot of these spiritual gift tests to people, and they're always like, almost like in shame, like I'm horrible at some of these. Yes, and I am too. There's some because God's not going to gift you in everything. He's going to gift you in some things for the purpose of furthering the gospel to benefit the body, and you're going to be able to do them well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, the gift of prophecy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So he's gifted everyone through the Holy Spirit different gifts. Usually everyone has more than one, usually two or three. And he has gifted you for the purpose of doing them well, of sharing them. And they weren't just given to you just to keep to yourself. And so every gift needs cultivated. It needs exercised. You need to take it and you need to learn. If you're good at teaching, you need to be teaching. You say, but I'm not very good at teaching, but I have this desire to teach. And what's so interesting is oftentimes where God gifts us is usually our desires will match up with our gifts in time. Now, maybe you're a little uncertain. Maybe you're like, well, I think I like this. It's okay to try something. It's okay to try something and go, well, that's not for me. Or to go, man, this is perfect. And what I've noticed in ministry is that when our spiritual gifts line up with how we are serving or what we're doing in church, man, we get excited. We get excited about serving. We get excited about what we're called to do. And I've also seen the opposite of when you put someone or someone's doing something because they have to or they're not gifted in that area, man, it just usually does not go very well. And that's okay as long as they realize that that can be the case, that they realize, okay, this is just not working. Now, I will say this as well. Sometimes you do certain things in church because it just needs to get done. You have certain things in your family, in your household. Anyone love to change the trash? I didn't think so. But you do it because it needs to be done. There are certain things in church I don't like doing. I'll do it because it needs to be done. And even if I don't like doing it, I know that I'm doing it for the benefit of the kingdom of God. I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm doing it to benefit the body. So either way, I'm still getting a blessing out of something that may not be my thing, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 11. And there's more that talks about, more of these passages that talk about spiritual gifts. But it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. You don't decide. I don't decide. The Holy Spirit is the one who decides so-and-so is getting this gift or these gifts. I'm going to give it to them. And notice, it says, to help what? Each other. It wasn't meant just for you to hide. It wasn't meant for you just to keep and just to use for yourself and only serve yourself. It's meant to help each other. When you go out throughout the New Testament, man, you will find that kind of that term, each other. Encourage one another, especially one another. Encourage one another, help one another. And you go on down the line, you see one another. It's always in reference of helping each other. Because your gift wasn't meant just to be just for you. And in this pandemic that we had to deal with and, you know, here in our world, I think many churches, because of the pandemic, some had to go in self-preservation mode. Some had to go, what are we going to do? And naturally, churches anyway, because we're people, can easily tend to be inward focused instead of outward focused. And so part of teaching and preaching is making sure that yes, there's things we have to take care of and keep our house in order as a church, but we need to make sure we're looking out because we're called to take the gospel, we're called to reach people, we're called to, you know, share our gift in which God has given us. And maybe, and there's no maybe about it, to a certain extent, man, we have some wonderful, wonderful people who serve. Man, we got some great members here who serve. We have some members who you were serving, but because of things that have gone on, you're not serving like you once did, or you're not serving at all. It's time to get back to serving. Maybe in the last year, you've gotten very inward focused. And it's not that you don't have needs or concerns or things that you need to take care of, because part of church is serving and being served, of loving and being loved. That's part of church membership. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way, right? We should be giving and receiving. And so the spiritual gift that you were given is to help each other. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And so 1 Peter has given us a command. God has gifted you. You need to use it. It's a command from Scripture. And because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us, how he has saved us, and we're a part of the body of Christ, given different gifts and abilities, we are commanded to use our gifts. You see, as Christians, we do good works. We do good things. We exercise our gifts because we are saved, because we are born again. Not to stay born again or become born again. No, that's by faith and faith alone. But we do good works. It's an overflow of what Christ has done in our lives. So what are some of these gifts? What are some of these gifts? And I want to explain some of these. The first one, and these are no order of importance, just how I have them down here on paper. And leadership motivates people to work together in unity. Some people have that gift of leadership, of making difficult decisions, of leading people, of seeing certain ministries that need to start, and taking lead. God has given many people. We have some wonderful leaders here in the church that I'm thankful for. We have administrator and administration. People with the gift of administration lead the body by steering others to remain on task. They enable the body to stay organized and to keep focused on the goals and the purposes. And we have wonderful people as well that have that gift of administration. You need it. You know, every church is really... I kind of tell people, when it comes to church, when it comes to the church and its giftedness, that when things get imbalanced in church, it's usually because of one of three areas has gotten kind of out of whack. A church is not a business, but there is a corporate element to church. There is. I mean, we have a finance team, we have a budget. I mean, that's part of, you know, of church. That is a business aspect of church. That's important. But if all you care is on the business side, people will end up saying that church only cares about your money. Some churches will ignore kind of the business side and they will focus on people, which a church should, right? But what happens is this would be a cause. They have a cause. And every church has a cause. Whether it's important to that church or not determines on their vision and where they want to go. But we all have a cause. And we've been given the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a church may spend all their money and all their focus on a cause, but if they don't make a budget for that cause, they can run out of money. And you got a problem. Then you have community. Part of church is fellowship and community. And we have our connection groups. Like, community is important. But what can happen in a church as well is a church that only focuses on community but forgets the cause and doesn't focus near as much on the cause or the corporate side, so to speak, the business side, they'll end up becoming a church, sometimes a family church, of us four and no more. And they don't reach anybody. They haven't baptized anybody in their church in like 10 years. That does happen. There needs to be a balance in those. And God gifts the church to make a balance. And so every church must be careful in making sure there's a balance when it comes to these gifts so we can stay healthy. Healthy churches grow. Healthy churches grow. Not perfect churches, no perfect church. My children aren't perfect, but if you water them, you feed them, you know, they grow. And why? Because healthy children grow, healthy churches grow. Then there's teaching. Teaching is instructing members in the truths and doctrine of God's word, purpose of building up, maturing the body of believers. And most preachers have the gift of preaching and teaching. Not everyone who has a gift of teaching has preaching, but they can sometimes intertwine. And every now and then I'll have someone say, good preaching's teaching. Well, yeah, you do learn from preaching, but let me tell you, my friend, I've been doing this a while. Preaching is not teaching. It's different. Teaching is different from preaching. And some people have that gift of teaching. Man, they are so good at it. They're gifted at it. We have some wonderful connection group teachers in here. Some of you teach kids, teenagers. Some of you teach middle schoolers. Like, man, you have a special gift teaching middle schoolers, let me tell you, right? There's an extra crown in heaven for you. Then there's knowledge. The gift of knowledge manifests itself in teaching and training and discipleship. It is a God-given ability to learn, know, and it's kind of similar to teaching, but to explain and to simplify God's complicated things and to explain God's word. Then there's wisdom. Wisdom is a gift that discerns the work of the Holy Spirit in the body. It applies his teaching and actions to the needs of the body. Then there's prophecy. Now, many will think maybe right off the bat, prophecy is like, you know, saying, hey, you're going to have, you know, triplets in the near future. That's not what I'm referring to. Prophecy today, I believe, is proclaiming the word of God boldly. And it builds up the body. It leads to a conviction of sin. And there's discernment. People with this gift of discernment, they're great at protecting and reading people and seeing that there's certain things that may be working, certain things that are not working, things to be aware of. And there's people in the church with a gift of discernment. Say, preacher, what about this? Have you thought about that? Have you noticed this? And you can tell they have that gift of discernment. Then there's exhortation. Exhortation's along the lines of encouraging, and that is a gift of encouraging by all means, but it's a little deeper than that. Someone has a special gift of not only will they encourage you, but when it's difficult news or difficulties in which they have to deal with, they do a great job at pointing at the sin or pointing out the fault, all the while encouraging you to follow Christ. Then there's shepherding, the gift of shepherding. Most preachers have the gift of shepherding, but it doesn't mean that the pastor is the only one with the gift of shepherding. I believe there's men and women that are great and they have this gift. They don't always realize they have this gift of shepherding. If you have the gift of shepherding, what you'll do is you'll notice when certain people are not there. I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. And maybe it's because you're a connection group leader. Maybe you're a connection group leader. You may just have this gift. If you're always kind of looking out for other people, you're concerned, you make phone calls, say, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, or you send text. You love to send cards, maybe it's birthday card. You have the gift of shepherding. You don't have to be a pastor to have this gift. And I'm thankful for those who have that gift. You help make the church feel protected and like that we care. And you always need people with the gift of shepherding. Then there's a gift of faith. Faith trusts God to work behind the human capabilities of people. Believers with this gift encourage others to trust in God in the face of insurmountable odds. And there's evangelism. God gifts his church with evangelists, those who had this knack for winning people to Christ. We all are called to share the gospel. We all are called to evangelize. But some people have this special gift of leading people to Jesus in their service/helps. People with this gift tend to recognize practical ways in which they can serve the church. Christians with this gift do not mind working behind the scenes. We all, regardless of your gift, should be okay working behind the scenes. That you don't have to get recognized with your gift. Because the only thing you're worried about is serving Jesus Christ. Because he sees all and he knows all in which we are doing. There's someone who has the gift of mercy. Someone with the gift of mercy. They help keep the body healthy and unified by being keenly aware of needs within the church. They're great at showing compassion. Very compassionate. And they're always looking out for the little guy. They love to show mercy. Then there's giving. We all are called to give. We're all called to tithe. But members with this gift of giving give freely and joyfully and to the mission of the body. God has blessed them, maybe even financially. But even if not, they just love to give. Then there's hospitality. People with this ability, man, they love to make new people, visitors, guests, just feel welcome. They're not And you would think they are just automatically an extrovert. And sometimes they are. But even people who are kind of introverts, some will have this gift of they love to make people feel welcomed. And the church services, they're looking around for who is new. And every one of us, should, especially our members, you should be looking around of who am I going to make feel welcome today? And I'll say this. I think we need to be a little bit better, and we have a very friendly church, but I think some of this is because of the pandemic, because of we've been told for over a year, 6 feet, stay 6 feet away, stay in your line, 6 feet away, wear a mask. And we had to deal with all that. And I think a lot of that plays in part of this, but church, you need to be looking around for who is new, who you can make feel welcomed. Are you doing that? If not, you need to start. You need to start. Because I'll watch every now and then and I try to get to people, but I'll kind of see, is anyone shaking their hand? Is anyone making them feel welcome? And we have some people who do a great job at that. Some of us, we may need to do a better, I think we need to do a better job of making other people feel welcomed. God has gifted His church with these abilities. He's gifted you with an expression of His Holy Spirit to support His vision, the mission of the church. And it's a worldwide vision to reach all people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gifts remind us of this. The gifts that God has given us remind you and me, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's about Jesus. It's about serving Him and serving other people. Church, as I've already mentioned, the pandemic has caused many churches to have a tendency to look inward, to think more like, to have parishioners think more like they are on a cruise ship rather than a battleship. The church is called to be a battleship. Not a cruise ship. You see, when you go on a cruise ship, there's a buffet. And I know South Carolinians, they love buffets. Like, we have more buffets per capita than any place in the world, I think, here in South Carolina. There's a buffet. There's options. There's entertainment. You know? There's a place to get some sun and chill and relax. You're not there to serve. And some may have the mindset of, well, I'm just going to be served. Serve me. But you see, the church wasn't called to be a cruise ship. It was called to be a battleship. Oh, preacher, I don't want to hear about battle and war. Listen, don't be foolish. If you haven't noticed lately, and you haven't noticed spiritually, we are in spiritual warfare. The Bible is very clear about it, that we have an enemy who's roaming about seeking to whom he may mess with. No. That he may trip up. No. Devour. Think about that. You have an enemy that wants to devour and ruin your life. He wants to take over, man. And some believers are living their life like they just need to be living on a cruise ship. God did not gift you for that. He didn't make you for that. He made you for a battleship. So let me ask, where is God leading you to serve? What is He leading you to do? Are you using your gifts to further the kingdom of God? Or are you just keeping them to yourself? God has gifted you. You know, I've seen senior adults that are gifted at teaching children and working with children. Some have taught in Awana. Some have taught in, you know, during our connection group time with our kids. And they're good at it. I've seen people who are young adults that were great at working with children. But they weren't great at working with teens. I've seen young adults great working with teens, but not great at working with children. I've seen senior adults that, you know, were great at working with kids, but they... And I've seen some senior adults have no business working with kids. I've seen a little bit of everything. And if God has gifted you, if God has gifted you in an area and you're great at connecting with certain age group, then work with that group. One lady that you saw her in testimony Sunday, they moved to Tennessee, but Miss Trua is great. She's gifted at working with teenagers. Her kids are all grown, but still working with teenagers. Listen, if you're gifted at working with teenagers, work with teenagers. If you're gifted at working with children, work with children. If you're gifted at working with senior adults, work with senior adults. If you're gifted at working with, you know, young adults or college age or, you know, middle age, whatever, then work with those. That's what you need to be doing. Now, I get there's some of y'all, like, you're working in children's ministry because you have kids in it. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all. And you may realize, like, okay, I'm not gifted in this. Maybe I need to go in a different area. That's okay. You may realize that you need to work with teenagers. You've been working with kids, and you need to work with, nothing wrong with that. But what can happen in a church, and I've seen this not just here but in other churches, that as someone's gifted at working with an age group, and their child leaves that group and they stop working with children at all. Ooh, wait a second. If you're gifted at working with a certain age group, work with that age group whether your child or your teenager is in that group or not. Or whether you know anyone who's a senior adult, like, or who's a young adult, work with them. God has gifted you. The body of Christ gets hurt when we go, well, I have no kids in there any longer. I'm done. Wait a second. You were so good with them. You were gifted in that area. And to have that mentality of like, well, it doesn't serve me anymore. I'm done. Whoa. Wait a second. You're hurting the body of Christ because you're not going to use your gift any longer to serve in an area in which God has clearly gifted you. And so the Holy Spirit said, preacher, there's some of these things I do want to try, but I'm a little afraid. And this is what Paul told Timothy. He says, fan in the flames, a spiritual gift God has given you. And maybe he knew kind of, Timothy was kind of afraid. And you've heard this passage in this verse before. I think I used it last week. But it's in reference to a spiritual gift of saying, kind of have the idea, I can't do it. This is what he said to Timothy. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. He's saying, God hasn't called you to be fearful. He hasn't called you to be timid. That's not what the Spirit of God brings. He brings power. In other words, productive spiritual energy that he brings. Love. It is love that centers on pleasing God. Whatever your gift is, God has called you to do it with power and love and with self-discipline. Sound mind or self-discipline means to be self-controlled. It means you prioritize your mind, you prioritize things. And maybe you're nervous and you're a little fearful. You know, we all at times get a little afraid. But having courage is not the absence of fear, it's having fear under control. Saying, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to step out and I'm going to try that. And you know what? You may step out and go, whoop, that's not for me. That's okay. That's how we learn. That's how we learn. But you won't find what you're good at in exercising and cultivating the gift the Holy Spirit has given you until you do step out. And so the Holy Spirit, not only does he help us in our gifts and cultivating them, he helps us pray. Did you know that? If we're uncertain of how to pray and what to pray, it says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit will intercede and make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He will help us. It says, now he searches the hearts and knows the minds of the Spirit because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so as believers, we are saved, and we are expected to exercise these gifts. James says this, James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are what? Man, you're fooling yourself. You got to cultivate it. You have to exercise it. You need to nurture it. And that's your responsibility. Because the work of the Holy Spirit when it comes for our gifts is not automatic. It must be cultivated. Paul continues in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. I want to read a couple passages, a couple verses here, and then I'm going to wrap this up. He says, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, is verse 8. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. Paul was in chains at this time in prison, underneath house arrest. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. And this is why I suffer here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard that what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. And we've been given something precious in our salvation. We've been given something precious in the gifts in which God has given. And we've been called to use our gifts together to further the kingdom of God. And one day, we'll stand before God Almighty and we'll give an account on how we use these gifts in which he's given. Church, the body of Christ needs your spiritual gifts. It needs to come together. It needs one another. They are interconnected. A true story about a normal day on a beach that turned into a heroic moment one Saturday a couple years ago when a group of strangers formed a human chain that stretched into the ocean to rescue swimmers stuck in a rip current. Derek Simmons and his wife Jessica came up with the idea to start a chain when they saw a group of around 9 swimmers struggling to stay afloat off the Panama City beach in Florida. Quote, the only thing that popped into my mind is if you've ever watched Ants, which would make sense because even the Bible says, consider the ants and their ways and be wise. It says, when one of their babies gets into trouble and can't move, they start making a chain in order to pass them down the line to get them off, to get them safely. That's the only thing I was thinking of. If we're arm in arm, we can get them. The chain started with a group of only 5 people. He said, a lot of people were like, there's no way I'm getting in the water. We're going to get swept out. But I guess they just swallowed their pride pill and got in. And Simmons said, after watching the chain of strangers grow, it was a pretty amazing stuff for it to be people of different races, different genders, different ages. Everybody got together, arm in arm, to go and to save those who were out in danger. And church, we need one another for the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to strengthen the church, to strengthen the kingdom, to help one another. The gifts in which the Holy Spirit has entrusted you with will not grow automatically. It must be cultivated. Let's pray. Father, you have challenged me, you've challenged our church to fan into flames, to cultivate the gifts in which you've entrusted us with. You will find nowhere in your word where you've called believers just to step aside and do nothing. Every believer, every church member, is challenged to use their gifts. So my question is, are you using your gifts for the Lord? If not now, then when? If not now, then when? Maybe you're watching or you're here this morning and you're not a part of the body of Christ. You want to become a member. Well, you can become a member by a couple different ways. One, first and foremost, is have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you repented of your sins and asked Christ to save you? See, sin is anything that we say, think, or do that breaks God's law. We all are sinners. We all need God's grace, every one of us. And if you'll humble yourself and ask Christ to save you, He will. Next is not for salvation, but become a member. You need to be baptized. See, baptism lets everybody know that you have been saved, that you're not ashamed of following Jesus Christ. And then we have a Next Steps class that lasts about an hour that we have here. Why do we do that? Because we want to make sure people, that they know Jesus. We want to make sure that we can help people in their journey of faith. We also want them to know what they're getting into, that church members have responsibilities. So maybe you need to do one of those three things. Maybe you need to get baptized. Why not present yourself for baptism? We're not baptizing today, but we will soon. Maybe today you need to get saved. Maybe you need to give your life to Christ. Say, Jesus, here I am. I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins. God, I'm putting my belief and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to make the decision to go to our Next Steps class that we'll have sometime coming up here in August or September. You realize God's leading you to be a member here, to invest here in the kingdom of God. Maybe here this morning, you're already a member. You're already saved. You're already baptized. But you're sitting on your hands. You've treated church more like a cruise ship than a battleship. And it's time to repent of that and to follow His command. God, we love you, and I'm thankful. Then there's time of reflection. My eyes are closed. We're just in a moment of prayer. So, preacher, that's me. That's me. There's some decisions I need to make. Whether you need to get baptized or become a member, or you need to realize you need to start using your gifts for the kingdom, I'm just going to pray for you in general. Say, preacher, that's me. Will you raise your hand high and show it to God? Show it to God this morning. To God, that's me. That's me, preacher. Pray for me. There's some decisions I need to make here this morning. I see those hands. I see that hand. That's me. God, I pray that we will allow your Holy Spirit, who is God, to work in our lives. When we follow you, when you step out in faith, we won't be disappointed. It's a wonderful, wonderful journey with you. And I pray that we will boldly, without fear, without being timid, follow your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, church. So good to see you. Have a good week.